the corner. We're in Green Bay and wide strong. They post the record of regular season and playoffs combined. 58 wins and 31 losses. They reside in Milwaukee. They consist of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. Ladies and gentlemen, your Milwaukee
is Paul's here. Wow, I'm rusty. It has been too long. It has been a minute, but we're back. And my host, who is over Skype, Mr. Kevin Carter, how's it going, sir?
It's going good, going good. Yeah, you can tell you're a little rusty.
Yeah.
Couldn't even get your own name out.
I can't even get my own name out, man. It has been too long. It's been a while. And Kevin has been patient with me and very respectful of everything that was going on in my life, but got to see where I hung out with him. Like, dude, we'll bring back the podcast. I was like, I was going to actually mention that to you because I feel like it was coming soon because I went to my storage and picked up my microphone. So I was like,
yeah. you told me that you were like, yeah, I went and got my microphone out of storage. I said, oh, so we're doing a finals preview. And you were like, yeah, pretty much. That'll be a comeback episode. So I was like, oh, okay.
Right. So that's why I was like, you know what? It's time. And to people that watched our video, if you didn't get my my Star Wars Darth Vader voice, the video was supposed to be, I know Kevin, like, why you sound so angry in the video? Because I was trying to play off him, but he was like, whoa, calm down. I was trying to be funny, so he got it, but he didn't get it. So that's why it seemed like I was angry, but I was just trying to play to what he gave me a material. But nonetheless.
I gave you perfect material for you to just start rambling. And then you could have cut to me going, okay, calm down. Like, I went, you could have went like this. I went, got my microphone, and then I did like this, and then I could have been like, okay, well, calm down, and then you could have been like, we're starting it back up. And then I'd have been like, well, it's about time. See, this is why you always got to coordinate with the guy with the comedic timing.
Oh, Lord.
It was okay. Once I listened to it a little bit, I was like, oh, it's Darth Vader voice. I was like,
I was trying to like, it's time, but.
Because even Austin went, what did he say? And I was like, I'm trying to listen to it. Would you hush, Austin, so I can listen to it? What he said was use the Bruce Buffer guy. But yeah. He always, it's time before the UFC fights.
Yeah, I thought about that too. But once I kind of looked through Adobe Audition and saw the presets for the Dark Lord, I was like, oh, this is going down.
It did go down. It went down so low that you couldn't understand what you said. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. So I really try to turn the volume up on mine a little bit so you can hear me. But still, I guess nobody in here, but you guys did a few times to understand that I was going for that.
Yeah, I got it eventually. So we fine.
Well, yeah, man, stuff happened over the weekend. I guess we can start talking about some stuff, right? You know, some stuff and things.
Some stuff and things. Well, before we start talking about some stuff and things, ever since everything that has happened in your life and everything's happened, and we put this big gigantic pause in the podcast, I said when the first one come back up, I wanted to dedicate it to your mom. So now that we're starting this back up and everything like that, I want to dedicate these shows to your mom, because she's always supported you through everything that you do, and she knows that this was one of the big things that you liked and enjoyed doing. So for Mama Paul, this is for you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Hey, like I said, this is for her, and she, at the end of the day, I know my mom want me to do the things I enjoy and be happy. It's crazy because, you know, my birthday's coming up in a few weeks and her birthday is right behind mine. So her birthday is on July 20th. My older brother's coming down from Michigan, and I guess it'd be the first time he see her gravesite since she got passed away. So don't know how I'm going to react on her birthday, but, you know, best you can do is just try, you know, let the emotion flow. It is what it is. You know, this woman was a special woman in all of our lives. Kevin met her plenty of times and can vouch that she was definitely a special woman. But, you know, we do know that, unfortunately, you know, there's a beginning and there's an end for all of us, and you just never know. So you just try to do the best you can and live life. And there's been things like I told Kevin, I know I've been subscribed to deal with anxiety. I got anxiety pills I've been taking now because of this. So never been on pills with anxiety in my life. But stuff like that is, I think, why Kevin was just very respectful of me trying to, you know, fight my demons and everything that I got going on and be here for my family, especially my father, you know. That was his best friend of 35, 36 years. So, you know, family and friends are really important in times like this. I said, Kevin's really one of my best friends, and I thank him for everything he's done. He touched base with me and everything that I've been going through. But yeah, guys, I do thank y'all for whenever you do check out the podcast. I thank y'all, guys, for listening and being supportive. And trust me, we're going to get this thing back rolling. And Kevin's very eager to talk some football. Football's around the corner. Basketball's in the NBA lottery just passed. NBA draft is coming up this month. So we will definitely get back to it and try to do this like a once a week thing. Things that we're going to do that I got plans. I made a logo now. I'm still here. I made a logo for the podcast finally. That's been in the works. So I'm trying to do more content with video here and there. You'll see little stuff. Me and Kevin do comedic stuff. We'll probably start doing pics on Anchor and stuff like that, you know, so that way we don't blow out the show too long for you guys, you know, at least try to aim for at least an hour. I mean, we ain't trying to kill y'all here for like an hour and 30, an hour 40, you know.
But, yeah. 2.5 hours.
Yeah, we're not trying to do that, man. So for stuff like that, you know, during the week, like picks and stuff, we'll probably start doing that on Anchor. So I'm staying with Pot of Matter. But anyways, like I said, we can get on around about here. I do thank you guys for listening. Kevin took the segue and gave me the floor. And, hey, man, he's my brother, and I appreciate this guy. I love him more than you know, man. So
Warwick, call me y'all's white cousin.
Yeah, white cousin. At the time we had at the Orlando Eye when he came along, and they didn't think he was with me, but that's my country cousin right there. Yeah, he's with us. Kevin with us. Oh, man. So, nonetheless, NBA Finals in July for me, and NBA Finals and Kevin as well, and all the basketball fans. Usually basketball ends in around June. It will end in July, and it's like Christmas in July for me. It's, man, this has been a weird season. This has been a long season. There's a lot of challenges with the coronavirus and travels and social justice and everything like that. But we get to the NBA Finals. Kevin, we got...
NBA Finals in October. What are you talking about? No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly, man. Kevin, man, we got the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. Not your two usual names that you hear.
Thank God.
In the NBA Finals. It's completely different, unorthodox. Usually you always hear someone named LeBron or Steph Curry or Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals, and none of those three guys are there. Before we dive into stuff like this, man, what's your initial thoughts about these two teams making it to the NBA Finals?
Phoenix, Milwaukee is Milwaukee. They were a lot of people's pick to make it last year in the bubble. They were a lot of people's pick to make it this year. So them making it isn't that big of a surprise. Phoenix is a bigger surprise to some people, but after watching them play in the bubble last year and seeing the team kind of rally around each other, and then when the additions they made in the offseason with Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, and these two guys, the team that already had a solid nucleus, I'm not really surprised by their run. I'm kind of, it's not even shocked that they made it to the finals. Because, mind you, they've had a lot of things that broke in their favor with injuries and such. But this year with injuries all around the NBA and everything like that, you just have to play the hand that you're dealt. But I'm kind of not shocked about either team that's in the finals this year.
Okay. My initial thoughts right away, I look at the Bucks, and, you know, you see they added Drew Holiday. They added Bobby Portis. They added P.J. Tucker. So they had a buildup of a championship team. The team they really had to worry about in the East was the Brooklyn Nets. As Kevin said before, yeah, injuries, you know, played a part in it, but, you know, you're dealt with a hand every year like this. I know this year it was more superstars that was hurt with the condensed season and everything like that. But at the end of the day, I know there are certain players complaining about that. We'll go on that later. let's just go ahead and say, like, listen, man. At some point, you all agreed on this as the NBAPA, Players Association. You agreed on this to play this season. So I don't want to hear any excuses about that. Like Kevin said, you got the hand that you was dealt, and you play. But, you know, it also took, you know, the Bucks to beat a Kevin Durant who dropped 50-some points one game, and he was still an automatic bucket. So that's still a talented guy on the side. And Kevin Durant paid his respect. Like, listen, this ain't about me, man. This is about the Milwaukee Bucks. They advanced. They was a better team. And he said, that's a key word, it was a better team. You know, I just, you know, all these performances didn't matter. You know, I can sit there. I know how talented I am. But you also got to give them credit. They got talent on the side of the ball. They stay healthy. And that's...
They were half a shoe size away from winning.
Exactly. He's not lying.
Milwaukee had to give it their all against Kevin Durant and a hobbled James Harden and no Kyrie Irving. Exactly. So everybody got some type of luck to get to where they are right now.
Oh yeah. And then I hear about how, well, the Suns, you know, they put all these team injuries. Well, Chris Paul had a shoulder injury, you know, during the whole playoff as well, right, too. So I mean, that's their engine that make them go. So I mean, you just deal with the hands that you dealt. So I mean, my first initial thoughts, I'm just like, I'm actually just super excited just to see, like Kevin said, you know, just these two mid-market, small market, wherever you wanted to find them as, they made it to the NBA Finals, and they haven't been there in quite some time. So I'm excited to see this. I'm excited for some new blood. We all scream in football how parity is such a good thing. It's such a good thing in the NBA too, man. Like, let one of these new guys – listen, either at the end of the day, there's going to be a new champion, either CP3 or Giannis. And I'm excited for either option for these guys. I'm excited for Devin Booker if he wins it. I'm excited for Drew Holiday if he wins it. PJ Tucker. Like, there's so many players looking on each side of the team.
If he wins it, though.
Yeah.
Not the guy I'm excited for.
I hear you. For sure.
Everybody else, but not Chris Smith.
Nah. For sure. So, how they got here? The Bucks, they're 46-26 in the regular season. They swept the Miami Heat in the first round 4-0. Defeat the Brooklyn Nets 4-3. Sorry, Kev. Defeat the Atlanta Hawks in 4-2. The Suns were 51-21 in the regular season. They defeat the Lakers in 4-2. Swept the Denver Nuggets in 4-0. And defeat the Los Angeles Clippers in 4-2. Kev, man, talk about Giannis and his... He dealt with some adversity with the whole free throw shooting stuff and now his injury and everything like that. I mean, what's your thoughts about Giannis this postseason?
Giannis is one of those he's one of those crazy weird superstars. Like he can do a couple of things great, but then for the couple of things he can do great, there's a bunch of stuff he can do that's not so great. So he's that superstar that needs that guy that you can go to at the end of the games to close out the games and such like that. I talked about it the other day with CL and Wolf. He's one of those weird enigmas to me that in a sport now or in the NBA that is completely flip-flop from what we known before, that a guy who can't shoot consistently is now trying to lead his team to the NBA Finals, where the NBA is totally flipped all around into a three-point barraging team or a three-point barraging game. And I'm like, it's just weird that the guy that can't shoot a lick is now leading a team that – and the funny part is he's leading a team that's the leading three-point shooting team in the league. That's what's crazy to me. But he's got Giannis has the guys around him that make it where Giannis doesn't have to put that burden on his shoulder at the end of the game. He's got closers.
Yes, yes. Giannis is the one that, you know, if you watch the whole postseason, he's at the free throw line, they do a 10-second count, which at times are ridiculous and too fast, honestly, when they do the fans. The fans just trying to antagonize him. But like I said, this guy has dealt with so much with now his knee injury. So now we know he's day-to-day. Listen, he's in the NBA Finals, so I think he's going to play. I don't know how effective he's going to be. But, you know, to give him the respect in the world that he, you know, this guy is good at everything else. Now, what drives me bonkers about him, like Kevin mentioned, he'll sit there, and there's just certain lapses of the game that he'll sit there, and he won't drive. He'll sit there and just shoot threes. Like, he'll come down and just certain possessions and just shoot the three. And they give him the shot. Like, you hit it. You just live with it. But, you know, it's like, if you can just go in and at least go with a 15-footer from time to time. And yes, if it's there and with him, then go ahead and take the three. But some of the threes is out of rhythm. And how they ran the offense when he was hurt, like, you saw Brook Lopez in the post more. Drew Holiday had handles with the ball more. So I don't know what Mike Budenholzer, which he's been getting criticized heavily during his postseason, but you need to be able to figure out that great balance between your superstar and your star tier players or your role players and try to figure a great balance in between that. But I have liked what Giannis done. His closeout game against the Brooklyn Nets was fantastic. I mean, even though Kevin Durant had dropped 50 on him, he came back and at least dropped 40 on him. So, I mean, he was right there, you know, like literally neck and neck and toe to toe, pun intended, with Kevin Durant in the series.
But the good thing about the Nets is they play no defense, and especially in the interior. So Giannis definitely took advantage of the Nets not playing no interior defense whatsoever and went dead at them. That's why he was dropping 30 and 40 points a game, because he'd just go into attack mode. Then when you got bad part with Giannis is he gets it in his head that all of a sudden he can shoot threes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, stop. I was like, don't do that whatsoever until they build a gigantic wall in front of you and you have to. I was like, please, don't, just stop.
Yeah, just.
He's one of the more frustrating superstars in the league.
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. And you just sit there and know that now, with the talent that he has, it just sometimes he just had those lapses where he just shoot the three. And I'm sure his coach just seemed like a nice guy. Oh, yeah, good job, Giannis. It's like, no, man, you got to get on him and make sure that he tried to play a good game, defend the game. And his three, when they brick like that, they start a fast break for the other team and you get unsettled. And, you know, it's just bad all around. But besides that, we know how great Giannis is. The two-time MVP, and we talk highly of them, you know. But like Kevin said, they're just part of the games that is just bad. It's just downright ugly. But, you know, when he's going to the rim and attacking people and going for the offensive rebound, crashing the boards, he's a delightful guy to watch. So,
the funny part is most of the time there's no need for him to shoot those three-pointers. You've got a team full of them. You do you and stop going outside of your zone. Stop going outside of what you should be doing as a basketball player, because you have plenty of people around you on that team that can shoot.
Agreed.
Let them shoot.
Yep.
You let them shoot. The ultimate thing with Lopez is Lopez will literally clear the floor for you. Mm-hmm. He'll go out the 3-point line, he'll drag somebody with him. Giannis has all day, he can go to the hole. But then he just gets these lapses to where I'm going to shoot a 3-point. No! You got people that can do that for you. Let them do that. You do you. I'm like, oh my God, just stop shooting.
Man, I hear that, man. So, hey, let's look at the other side of the spectrum right here. We look at the Phoenix Suns, and we talk about Chris Paul getting to his first NBA final after 13, I forgot the exact number. Is it 13, 14, 15, 16? 90. It's been a while. Yeah. I want to say it's between the 13 and 16 range. I heard him say, I just slipped my mind. But, Kevin, did you see his reaction, man? What you thought about Chris Paul's reaction? He was trying to tell Monty, I'm trying to come down, coach. And Monty told him, like, don't come down, man. Enjoy this. What do you think about his reaction and his journey to getting here to the NBA final?
It's the reaction of a guy who knew he should have been there before. Knew that he had opportunity to be there before, and knowing that he's on the final leg of his run, mm-hmm. and that to compare at this point in his career, the way he has actually been playing, is it's time to let it all out, and I'm happy for him. Like he got gypped with a veto trade, mm-hmm. to where he couldn't go and play with Kobe in LA, so that took away his finals appearances. He's been on a bunch of good playoff teams. He's been one of the best leaders in this generation. As far as a point guard and basketball players go, he's been one of the best leaders that we've had in this generation at the point guard position. And now that he's finally got his chance to go to the finals on a team that is young and that he is a key piece for him because of how much of a veteran he is, it's just a good thing for Chris Paul.
Yeah, I'm really excited for him. You know, this is a guy that when he got traded from Houston to OKC, everybody was pegging OKC. Well, OKC just, they're real young and they don't have the talent to go to the playoffs. But they end up being the fifth seed in the playoffs and actually taking Houston the distance last year. So the GM, Sam Perry's like, hey, is there a certain place you want to go that we can work a deal for and everything like that? And he alluded to it whenever he went, when they had the title the Western Conference title presentation, that he's saying, well, listen, I like to go to Phoenix because I know James Jones. He's a good friend of mine. I know Monty Williams. He was a coach of mine in New Orleans. And he was like, honestly, though, but he's like, that light-skinned assassin, Devin Booker, is one reason I wanted to come to Phoenix, because he was getting better and better every year. And I paid attention in the bubble when his team went 8-0 and went on a run and almost made it to the playoffs by pushing that route there. And to see this team a year later that didn't make it to even make and made a run to come close to the playoffs, and now they're in the NBA Finals, and Chris Paul is the catalyst behind that. I'm very excited for him. I was glad to see him react that way. I understand that, you know, the job is not done. But for you to get to that there, and you have, you know, buddies that's been on the banana boat, that's who you're friends with, and I'm sure you hear all the time from Dwayne Wade and you hear from LeBron James. I'm sure they respect him. Like, come on, Chris, you got to get there, man. Like, what's going on, man? Like, there was times that LeBron was trying to get him on his team so they could get him there. So, but like,
oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah, you're shocked, exactly. But yeah, it's to see his
on team. I'm shocked.
Yeah, but to see his reaction and to see how excited he was to get there, I'm happy for Chris Paul, man. And I'm hoping that his health stays up. I know he's been battling the shoulder injury and then COVID. So he came back looking a little bit rusty, but that game, that final game six that they played against the Clippers was fantastic.
What rust?
Was fantastic. I mean, he played a fantastic game. He closed it out. I believe he scored more than the starters of the Clippers in that final quarter. And it got to a point where he was antagonizing the antagonizer and Pat Beverly, who pushed him in the back with a cheap shot. He later apologized to that. But yeah, like, I'm sorry for Chris Paul. It's about time, as we would say, that he get his shot to go and win a title. So we wish the guy all the best, and you hope he leads his team to a destiny.
Yeah, your cousin made it to the finals.
Yeah, Cuzzo. I call him Cuzzo. We got the last name. So it's funny because my cousin's got like a bunch of Chris Paul jerseys. So I was like, yep. So we just sit there and joke and saying Cuzzo. We have no relation. It wasn't a problem. He's not that much taller than I am, if he is like a distant cousin, if he is, but I doubt it.
You said he has a bunch of jerseys. Yeah, because he probably got one for every team he's been on. So what, we're looking at like six?
Yeah. I know he's got the Clippers one. I think he got the Hornets one too. But yeah, so he was talking about getting the Suns one too. So, hey man, we'll see, man. So, Kev, man, I want to talk to you, man. Okay, so I know we talked about Giannis and Chris Paul. What's some of the players on each of these teams that really impress you during this run? Players that we haven't got to and haven't mentioned yet that you have in your mind, like, well, this guy was impressive. Who are your thoughts on as far as the Bucks and the Suns?
Well, Milwaukee, it definitely has to be Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton has played when they needed him to show up in some of these games. He has showed up and he has showed out in a lot of them. So Middleton definitely, even though I have mixed emotions on him, I can't deny how good he has been playing. But the center for the Suns, Ayton, holy cow, that kid has came out of nowhere, and he's played. And see, we say he's come out of nowhere because we're on the East Coast, so we don't get a watch of a lot of games that are coming on there. And I know people on the West Coast will be like, what do you mean he's come out of nowhere? He's been playing like this all year. Well, yeah, we don't get to watch him all the time. So you get a chance to watch these guys play. It's fun to watch guys that we don't get to see a lot of over on this side. He reminds me of a younger Patrick Ewing with the way he plays. With the way he plays inside the paint, he's got that little mid-range shot, and he plays a lot of defense. He's not he's not what we'll now call the prototypical center in this generation of the NBA. He's kind of a throwback sort of.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I'm a second on DeAndre Ayton with that, and to back up what Kevin is saying, in the playoffs, he's averaging 16 points a game, 11 rebounds per game. And he's doing on 70% field goal shooting. So the guy has been fantastic. He's been taking advantage of his matchups. He's been amazing on defense too. But like, just some of the defense he's playing and stepping up and timely blocks and timing reading the lanes. And and just been real effective for the Suns. So, like Kevin said, like, yeah, we really don't watch much of Aiden. You know, we know he's there. He's just much of an afterthought. So to kind of see him on the big lights, this was so good about playoff basketball. You get to see some of these guys, like, in 4 or 5 or 6, 7 games, and you're actually like, wow, that guy is better than what I thought. And Suns fans like, yeah, we know. We know.
Sorry, Suns fans. We don't see him like Suns and poor guys.
Exactly. But no, he's been super impressive. He's been fun to watch. I'm eager to see how he's going to deal with a Brook Lopez that can spread him out and see what he does to hold his own. So, my guy, Kevin Mitchell Middleton, I think that's a great pick. But I'm going to go with recently bias here and give it to the OG Bobby Portis, man. Bobby Portis stepped in well. He didn't play much in the Brooklyn Nets series, but he came on against the Hawks series. And he's averaging 9 points a game and 5 points rebounds a game. But that game 5 where he dropped 22 points, man, was pretty impressive because you didn't know how they was going to react with both of the stars down. And you saw the game before where Atlanta just got hot. I mean, they was not missing. So you just like, ooh, Atlanta might can make it to the finals, man. I don't know, man. And Bobby Portis came in and did a fantastic job with the role that he was given. And now he needs an extended role to definitely play in this Sun series. As Kevin mentioned, Middleton has been a beast, been great. There's moments where you're like, okay, where is he at? But there's been more often than not, he's been showing up and doing fantastic. But
it's always them times where you go, okay, where's Chris Middleton? He's got 5 points. And then just like the other night in the third quarter, he all of a sudden had 35 points.
explodes, man.
Like, what? The man literally had 5 points at halftime, and then all of a sudden it went to 35. And I was like, Jesus, criminy. He couldn't miss the third quarter. Like, he missed nothing. And I was like, oh, this game's over. But I will go for Atlanta. Atlanta was one ref's foot away from going to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Trae Young stayed healthy, they were going to the finals.
They were dangerous, but man.
They were legit. They were legit one ref foot away from going to the final.
Dude, I tell you what, man. Can we give a shout out to Atlanta Hawks, man? I mean, I know you just kind of went there. Can we give a shout out to them guys, like how well they played? And Nate McMillan, who got offered a contract today. Congratulations, by the way, because that was well deserved.
If he didn't, they were stupid. So good thing he did.
Exactly. Listen, I know they're in our division, Kevin, and I really get particularly annoyed by the Hawks from time to time, especially when the Josh Smith years. It was one of the teams that we just couldn't beat when they had Josh Smith who would just go off. Like, Josh Smith, who can't make a bucket, he's going off on us? Really?
That's up.
Exactly. So I give credit to all the world to Trae Young and because I for sure picked I thought the Knicks were going to beat them in round one. And then I was like, okay, well, Philly's going to beat them in round two. And I picked the Bucks to win them as well. But if Trae Young was healthy, Trae Young probably would have made me ate my words again.
There's no way I was picking them against the Knicks in round one. One, because they're the Knicks. And two, they're the Knicks. So I was picking them because one, they haven't been any good for a while, so they're not used to the thing. And two, I hate the freaking Knicks. So, I wasn't picking them there. Philly, it's just Philly has that odd angle of having guys everybody thinks are really good that aren't really good. And then once the guys that they think are really good realize to themselves that they aren't really good, then their whole mystique just went downhill. And Philly never recovered from Ben having a mental collapse.
Yeah, man. So that's why I say, but at the end of the day, Atlanta did, hey, what was in front of them, they went through them and gave the Bucks some fits as well, too. So we haven't talked much about Devin Booker. You want to talk about Devin Booker?
Well, was I wrong on somebody? That was the one kid I was really wrong on, because I thought him coming out of Kentucky that I didn't see enough out of him in Kentucky, where everybody was building him up. But since he's gotten the NBA, and now what is he in, year three or four?
I believe he,
he's definitely turned it on now. And I like to admit when I'm wrong sometimes, and this is one I don't mind admitting I'm wrong. He's definitely turned into a hell of a ball player.
Devin Booker stepped up when Chris Paul had a shoulder injury in some of these games and played that playmaking role to the T. And we all know he can score. But I was like I said, we don't watch much of the Suns unless they come on national TV or you catch them at a good time or whatnot. So I knew Devin Booker can score, but his playmaking ability was just as impressive. Him handling the ball and passing the ball and the way he operated off him when Chris Paul was down. I give a lot of credit to Devin Booker, man. He really has expanded his game, man. He really is a threat, you know, as a dang good ball player. And I'm really excited to see, you know, what he's going to offer. And he it's going to be fun watching that battle between him and Chris Middleton, man. You got two excellent shooting guards that know how to score the ball, that are fantastic in clutch moments. And, they just do a lot for their team, respective teams and everything like that. So, Kevin, I'll ask you this. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you got Drew Holiday, who is a all-world defender. You got a choice to make, man. Are you putting Drew Holiday on Devin Booker or Chris Paul?
Drew Holiday is going to be guarding Devin Booker. That's who he needs to be guarding. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to have this thing of wanting to put him on Chris Paul and everything like that. Because if you put Middleton on Devin Booker, Devin Booker's going to eat his lunch because he's too quick for him. Paul, you can at least know that Paul's going to be a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
So you put Middleton on him and kind of do the slow down with him.
Yeah.
But Booker's just too damn fast for him. So you're gonna have to put Drew on him, who Drew's been iffy on the offensive end, but on the defensive end throughout these series, he's been pretty dang good.
Okay. All right. I definitely agree with you with that. You broke it down perfectly. I'm not gonna go ahead and repeat you.
On the other side, Middleton's not gonna get guarded by either Paul or Booker. He's going to end up getting guarded by Jay Crowder.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless they put Jay on Giannis.
Well, Jay's going to give him fits. And honestly, if I was you, I probably would put Jay Crowder on Chris Middleton because...
Oh, no. I think you dropped me again.
Nah, I'm still here. I still hear you. But yeah, that's why I said I can still see where you're coming from with that matchup. So I totally think that that's reasonable. I don't know about great Jay Crowder on Giannis. You don't see there's a problem?
Well, if we look back to when Jay Crowder was with Miami put him on Giannis. So, and he did a fairly well job of guiding Giannis into those walls. That's that big key with Giannis that everybody always talks about,
right?
Is putting the deep ball in front of him. So if Jay can manage to move him into those walls, that opens up the quicker guys to be able to stay with the guards and gives Jay that little thing. I don't think putting him on Giannis would be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did it before in Miami. But putting him on Middleton though would kind of give Middleton a big body that he hasn't seen yet. That kind of will play defense up on him. Because Middleton really ain't had that bigger, thicker guy play that kind of defense on him before. And again, going back to Miami, when Giannis went down, Miami moved Jay over to guarding Middleton too. So they've got a guy Phoenix has a guy who's familiar with playing defense to get these guys. So I think Jay will come in handy a lot more than people think he will.
Okay. So I guess leading to that, who's your S factors, and is did you already mention one of them?
There you go. That's my. I think Jay will have just as much importance on the offensive end as he will on the defensive end too. because Jay's one of those streaky guys that once he gets going, though, it's hard for him to get stopped. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Jay. Okay. I know the Phoenix, I know Milwaukee's got that little dude that all he does is shoot three-pointers. He gets on my damn nerves.
Oh, Brent Forbes?
Yeah, he gets on my nerves.
Oh, man. My X factor for the Bucks I'm going to go with Bobby Portis. Just the toughness he provide, and you know, Phoenix got a nice interior defense that's led by Ayton. So you're going to need some physicality in there, and we know Giannis is not 100%, so somebody going to have to bring that physicality in the paint with him. And I thought I mentioned earlier that he did a great job in game 5 and kind of playing the role of when Giannis got hurt. As far as for the Suns, I'm going to go with Cam Johnson, who can really spread out their forwards and hit. He's been hitting the 3-ball. He's been playing pretty well. Phoenix got a lot of depth over Milwaukee. But like I said, whenever you get to the playoffs, though, that really doesn't matter. But, you know, in case they do run into issues with injury and stuff like that, they can just plug these guys in better than Milwaukee can. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I wonder how Brook Lopez is going to be affected. And I'm trying to put a place because P.J. Tucker seems to guard the best wing players, but he the last two series, he really has not been needed. I just feel like his role has been kind of like been minimized. What do you think about P.J. Tucker's role going forward here?
Well, P.J., they wanted him to get in freaking Kevin Durant's. They want him to get in Kevin Durant's chest. Mm-hmm. That's why P.J. Tucker a lot in the Nets series against Kevin Durant. In the other series, it's tough to get in guys' chest when you can't catch them. So, if you can't catch them and you can't get in their chest, that's the thing with Kevin. Kevin's tall, lanky, and he's not fast. Kevin Durant don't have that quickness, and especially since he's coming off injury. He still hasn't got that explosive quickness yet. So they got PJ to get in his chest to at least take away that first step. Mm-hmm. But PJ in these other series hasn't really been needed like that because he can't keep up with none of those guys. So they've had him guarding instead of wing players, they've had him guarding forwards and everybody else. There was no way he's going to be able to guard anybody that far out on the Phoenix Suns. There's no way. They'll blow right by.
Yeah.
Exactly. They'll blow right by.
Only way I can think of, because we know Houston has done it before and play him at center. DeAndre is a big boy. I mean, if you want to go small ball and try to go that route, but I thought they should have did that with Atlanta, but Atlanta ate that up. It just got too many people that could shoot the ball, particularly. And so does Phoenix. They do too. That's why I mentioned Cam Johnson and Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Jay Crowder can shoot the ball pretty well. Cam Payne, who is Exactly. We ain't talking about campaign, but the way he's regenerated his career, give him credit to Monty Williams on that, because this guy wasn't heard of. Last time we heard, was put on a poster by DeAndre Jordan, and that's really last time you heard a campaign. But he's been playing pretty well with Chris Paul being in and out of the lineup. So we got to mention him, man. He's been fantastic as well this postseason.
Yeah, Phoenix is just going to be a problem. Phoenix is a matchup nightmare, and they're a problem. And I don't care if all these teams would have had all their healthy guys, I still think Phoenix would have advanced. Mm-hmm. Just because they're just a better team. Yeah. They don't have that big glamour superstar look, but they're just a better team. Yeah. I think they would have beat LA. Could have had everybody. They still were going to beat them.
I thought it was going to be the Lakers, regardless of that. If LeBron and AD was AD, they don't have any depth. I mean, I know we're going to that, but yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I don't think
LA, the Lakers. LA has zero depth, and the other LA has zero depth. It's because once you go superstar centric, your depth goes away. And right now, Phoenix isn't superstar centric, and they've got plenty of depth. So I like them a lot better than the Bucks.
All right. So you picked the Suns in how many games?
Six.
Suns and six. Oh, man.
Six.
With Giannis being on the blender, he's not as – he's 1%. I know Kevin said he still would have picked the Bucks – or the Suns. I'm sorry. He would have picked the Suns regardless of Giannis' health came into the issue. Giannis healthy, I would pick the Bucks in seven. But I am going to go with the Suns in seven. It's going to be a seven-game series. Expect it to be real fault. The only thing I think that gets me over the edge with the Suns is Monty Williams is doing magnificent moves right now. His coaching pedigree right now is better than Mike Budenholzer. A lot of people have been not trusting Mike Budenholzer. So I believe that will cost him. I don't know. Like I said, Giannis has kind of come back out, but I don't believe that he's not being as effective as we think he is. He's still day to day. So I'm going with the Suns in seven games.
Milwaukee will have their time. It's just not this year.
Yeah.
I think Milwaukee is a piece away from being able to knock the door down.
Yeah.
Because look, we talked about the injuries and everything. They got lucky this year with Irving going down. Kyrie Irving doesn't go down. The Nets are in the NBA Finals.
That's
the one guy they cannot afford to lose besides Kevin Durant was Kyrie Irving. James Harden, I don't care. You can lose James Harden because he's not the catalyst. Kyrie Irving was the catalyst. As soon as Kyrie went down, I said, that's it. The Nets are going to lose. Kevin Durant can come out there and do spectacular things, but once you have to have that, you have to have that other guy. In today's NBA, definitely, you have to have that other guy to take some type of pressure off of your main number one guy. It's just a matter of fact. And as soon as Kyrie went down, I was like, ah, crap. But Milwaukee's going to have to at least get one more piece because they're going to have to deal with a full-force Nets team next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In the playoffs. Because during the regular season, we all know they're going to sit out 32 games apiece. So, happen because that's just usual. But the Nets need to prepare next year to keep everybody healthy for the playoffs. And if Nets go into the playoffs fully healthy, there's nobody beating the Nets.
No.
Unless some gets three superstars on their team.
That's the only way, man. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I know everybody's making noise about Damian Lillard going somewhere, but we'll see.
Oh, God. When we want noise in the offseason because LeBron gave somebody a handshake?
Hey, speaking of, by the way, I know we're about to end this podcast, man. Are you watching Space Jam?
Hell no. Yes, I am watching Space Jam. The original. Space Jam comes out in the movie theaters, I will watch the original again.
There you
just
go.
So when people say, did you watch Space Jam today? I'll be like, yes, sir, I did.
Well, luckily for us, because we got AT&T, it does come on HBO Max, so we ain't got to pay a dime for it.
Exactly. Watch it. I'm watching free. I'm not giving LeBron no money.
So I'm going to watch it on HBO Max and just see where it goes after from there. So, what did you want to say, Kev?
I said, although I am going to the movies on Friday.
Oh, yeah, because Black Widow's coming out, correct?
Oh, look at you keeping up with stuff now. Look at that. I've been TV shows on TV, so now I'm kind of keeping up with it.
Yeah, it's been a cool progression. I like what Disney Plus is doing here with the Marvel series and stuff like that, and then leading to the movies, because... And Kevin can speak more on this. I'm pretty sure you're just going to see a correlation through all this stuff here. It's all going to make sense.
Oh, yeah. You know, the movie everybody's really waiting on for everything to really make sense. Spider-Man's going to start it.
Mm-hmm.
November, December. Spider-Man's really going to start it. And then the new Doctor Strange movie's really going to kick in to all the crazy crap we're about to see. But Spider-Man's going to start off, and y'all are going to be really surprised when y'all see all the stuff that's going on in Spider-Man. All
right, man. Hey, I'm a Spider-Man. I got to say, I saw the Black Widow poster with Scarlett Johansson in all white.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to...
Listen, man. Be respectful. She is just one. She's one attractive woman, man. Jeez.
Hold on. Here, I'll say it in layman's terms. That's one pretty ass lady.
Refer to Kevin Durant tweet. I'm not gonna say it on air, but you can refer to Kevin Durant tweet. All right. Anything else you want to ask, sir, before we close this bad boy out?
No. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't we going to talk about... No. Let's wait and talk about his madness for another day.
Yeah. We can do that, so...
Talk about smart aleck madness for another day.
Oh, yeah. We'll go on that for a minute. Yeah, we can say that for a little bit. We're already pushing 50 minutes. I got to put some stuff on here for the intro.
Training camp.
The answer. Yeah, we'll get all that stuff squared away. All right, ladies and gentlemen, make sure y'all stay tuned for Me and Kevin podcast. We're back. Like I said, we're going to try to do this weekly. During the week, we'll probably do some stuff on Anchor. And you can kind of hear me and Kevin do like little segments here and there. We'll upload them to, you know, where we upload everything at. So I am going to go away from Podomatic, guys. I'm going to go more towards Anchor. So you'll hear all of our content on Anchor, which then it'll branch out to iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Windows, Google Play, Spotify, and as Kevin liked to say,
wherever you listened to us way back when before, now you can do it again.
Exactly. So you can check us out on all those sites. Kev has been featuring on the Heat Lifers podcast with CL. Me and Kevin kind of bounced back on their podcast here and there. So there was the comeback was in the making, and Kevin's been doing a fantastic job elsewhere. But you know, Kevin's like, Cortez, I'm ready for our own show to come back.
I was tired of dealing with CL.
So hey, that's our guy, man. Also support him, man, as well. He's at the Hardwood Nation.
CL does it a completely different way.
Yeah. So he does a video. Yeah. I don't mind it. I mean, eventually I like to do video, but I ain't gonna force Kevin to do that.
But no one wants to see me. That's number one. Number two, he zooms through everything. The thing you got to do, I know you're in a hurry because you some businessman or whatever. I'm just giving you shit now.
I know you.
But some businessman, don't rush through it. Yep. If somebody's got a logical thought, let them say it.
Nah, CL scripted, man. So, all right, guys, you can follow the podcast page on Twitter. You can follow us at Bosnar Court. You can follow me at End of Mine CP.
Evan C 2415.
We also added an Instagram page. It's at Bosnar Court Podcast. So give us a like, comment there as well. I'm going to be loading up some more content as well. We got a new logo and everything like that. So I guess after about 5 or 6 years, I decided to kind of, you know, I use the break away from podcasting to at least work on some things, not much, but some things.
For my next wedding before he changes the podcast picture again.
I say the template, man, so we'll be good, man. So
change pictures if I get married again, which might come before you getting married. No, I'm just
kidding. Hey, you never know, man. It might happen that way. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, you love your wife and you ain't getting remarried. But me.
Well, one of those was damn accurate. The other one, probably not. Which one? That one.
Yeah, hey, for sure, man. So, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, thanks again for tuning back in, listening to us. We are recording on a Monday, but this should be up on a Tuesday because I got some stuff I got to put in the front of the podcast, a lot of editing stuff. So when I get off work in the morning, I'll be up to about 6 o'clock playing around some stuff. I can't be sleeping. So it should be a fun time. But yeah, thank y'all guys for listening. Kevin Carter and Cortez Paul, Balls Not Court Podcast, we're signing off. Enjoy the rest of y'all day, guys, and enjoy the NBA Finals.
Welcome back.